Good evening and welcome to the regular meeting of the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay. If you'll all rise with me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
President Steele?
Here.
Vice President Peace?
Here.
Director Graves?
I am here.
Director Beat?
Here.
Director Simon?
Also here.
Thank you very much, Sue. At this time, we'll open public comments. Individual public comments will be limited to a 3-minute time limit. During public comments, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda at the time that the item is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up to the front and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions must go through the board chair. Any public comment? At this time, I will close public comment and item C. Any presentations?
None this evening.
I'd like the board to move item F4, if we can move that to the next item, and we'll take care of that, and then we'll go back into order of our agenda. So Rick, turn it over to you. Item F4, requests from local organizations to lease space in district-owned facilities.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Back on January the 21st, the president of the Discovery Bay Community Foundation presented to the board their goals and missions for their newly formed organization. At that meeting, the president of that organization, Mr. Jim Madison, who's in the room this evening, provided some informational materials to the board as well that indicated that the town is a partner in the foundation. And I noted at the time to the board that this board is not taking any affirmative action as it relates to that part of the discussion, whether or not the town would be a partner to the organization or not. Since that time, Mr. Madison submitted a request to rent space at our well house number 4, which is abandoned. That's at the very south end of town, just north of the Steakhouse shopping center there. And for $1,500 annually, increasing for the first 2 years and increasing to $2,000 thereafter, with his recommendation that the proceeds go to the community center. As the board is aware, there's been a long-standing unofficial arrangement that the town has had with the Discovery Bay Lions Club. They've had access to well house number 3 for storage of their items that they utilize for their many community events. In 2014, the Lions Club offered $1,000 to pay annually to the town, again with those proceeds also going to the community center. Throughout the years and in the spirit of community cooperation, the town has supported the Lions Club's efforts as they forward their events and their philanthropic activities throughout town when those events are free and open to the public. We have provided, for example, the use of our generators. We have a standing fleet of generators. We use those, but it's a good opportunity for us also to exercise those generators, so it benefits both parties. For those members that were on the board at the time when we had the communications committee, we acquired a message board that provides a dual purpose besides working the street and emergency situations like that. We also utilize it to advertise on different events, and the community has used it for example, Lions Club have used it over the years, the last few years, for some of their events. We use it for some of our events. There's no formal agreement that's been in place. It's just something that we've always done for many, many years as a recently met with both representatives of both the President of Lions Club, David Cerulli, as well as the President of the Foundation, Mr. Madison. And both organizations have requested the utilization of the same space, Wellhouse Number 4, moving forward. And I don't have the authority to be able to enter into property agreements unilaterally without board authorization to do so. So I am bringing this to the board to receive direction on this, to which manner you'd like to proceed, if any.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely support the use of district property for the benefit of local 501c3 organizations that support Discovery Bay activities. And furthering the general manager's comment, I'd like to see us develop a standard rental agreement for both parties to enter into that sets forth the economics and the terms and conditions of that rental agreement, so that we can have a bit more of a formal arrangement between the organization and the town of Discovery Bay.
Yeah, I also agree. I think that it's great we have community organizations. We want to have a partnership, not a problem whatsoever, but we're here to guard the public trust, and I too think that maybe we'd just slow down just a little bit, see if we can't come up with a formal agreement so that other organizations in the future, if we have some other properties that may be rentable or usable or whatever, we've got some kind of a process. So I think that it would be best for us to have staff look into bringing the board some kind of a formal arrangement of some sort, and then we can go forward from that point.
I would concur. I think we should develop a policy, so it's as you recall, when we discussed this last year, or obviously not, I mentioned the fact that there are nonprofits in town. That we didn't have a formal any, but there was only one really asking for it at the time, so it really wasn't an issue. But it's now an issue, so I agree. I think we should have some sort of a formal agreement, and then work out the details from there.
Did you say that Rick, they both want the same piece of property?
Correct.
How are you planning on doing that?
Well, there are, I think that the parcel, the piece of property would probably be able to accommodate both groups if they would be willing. There's sufficient property down in 4. It just depends on what their needs are and what their requirements are, and I think that moving forward with an arrangement as recommended by Director Lee, conferred upon by at least two other board members, to move forward with some form of a formal arrangement for rental of space. And in the meantime, I would have to meet with both organizations in terms of what their needs might be. Whether 3 might be able to accommodate 1 and 4 another, that discussion hasn't taken place. But I know both are here this evening, and I'm sure are prepared to speak to you about that when their time arrives.
The only thing I would direct the staff to do, as you bring this back for the discussion, is to give us square footage of both units so we know what's fair and comparable, including what any ancillary storage units that are on each site, so we can have a comparison.
And just to be clear, right now the Lions Club is the only tenant, or do we have both groups as tenants right now?
They're not really even a tenant in terms of, I mean, they're storing some of their equipment and tables and chairs that they use for some of their public events there. I don't believe that the foundation has anything there at this point in time. Is that correct, Jim?
Actually, we do, but it's locked up. I need to get that out of there.
All right, so is there any public comment, please?
Just one more thing.
If I get, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Dave Cerulli. I'm the president of the Lions Club. apparently we have a lot longer relationship with the town than I was aware of, even to the point at where it, we had an agreement with the town board at that time to have architecture plans drawn for a community center. And back in 2002, we entered into a formal agreement with the town to support the town in building the community center by paying for the architectural fees. That project was started. I know some initial drawings were made. The Lions paid the initial fees. It was some $5,000 for the drawings that were made. And that was when the site was going to be over across the street from where the community center is now, at the corner where the former gas station was. But anyhow, we've had a very, very long relationship. We have a long-standing relationship in the community, and we intend to continue that work in the community. As far as our storage, last year, the Lions requested that we move from well site 3 to well site 4. The main reason being that in well site 3 there was a lot of water, and even though the roof leaks at 4, it's a dry site compared to what well site 3 is. So we went ahead and improvements made on the inside of the building with shelves and whatnot to accommodate our stuff. And Jim Madison, our president at the time, made arrangements for a container to be put on that site on behalf of the Lions. Unfortunately, I think that did cause a little stir in the town here. But I think that finally got resolved and things are fine. And in the future, we just want to continue to be a good friend of the town. We want to continue with our present storage site. And as I said in a letter to Rick, I do feel it's time that we formalize this agreement so that everybody knows that everything's on the up and up. We have made contributions to the community center, but a formal agreement would be much better for everybody. And you know, if there are some insurance requirements that we need to do or anything, whatever it is, we're perfectly willing to do. So that being said, I just hope it all works out.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? I just want to say that the foundation doesn't need, you know, all of number 4. When I was talking to Rick, we actually talked about several different options. Again, like Dave said, we kind of moved out of 3 because it's moldy and it leaks, and there's a lot of stuff in the middle of it. So it's not the best facility. And like I say, with Rick, we talked about we can share the thing. Heck, we could actually use 3. I don't really care. We can use 3. We can clean it up. I did exactly what you suggested, however. I did a whole cost analysis with what rent goes from right down to the square footage of blacktop and everything else. So I will share that with your general manager.
It's already done.
So, I think we all want to work together. We all just want to make it happen, and we just got to figure out which direction we got to go. And like I said with Rick, you know, we could share, 4 if that works out best, or, you know, do something with 3. So anything can happen. Not a big deal.
Thanks.
Sorry. Director Lee?
I would just like to add one more thing, just as a request from me to staff as they work this through. Also consider a policy and procedure on sort of the loaning or rental of equipment and so forth, as, you know, people want to use the sign or they want to use the generator.
Already
we have some kind of a formal process rather than they just disappearing and coming back.
Yeah, just to give you a quick
idea on that. We will formalize that process, and we would bring it back to the board when we're ready to do so, but it would be, there would be a request of us made in writing on a form. It would outline, request what it is, if there's any outside costs that are incurred by the district, have to be fully reimbursed by the district, that sort of thing. So that'll come back at a later date.
Thank you.
Director Graves.
The other thing that I would suggest, and I appreciate the information coming from both both Dave and Jim with regards to the condition of the units, if we are going to enter into a formal agreement and receiving compensation, I think it would be responsible of the town to fix the leaky roofs and make sure that if we're going to give them something, that we give them something that's proper at this point. And so I would suggest we get some sort of an estimate with regards to what it would take to at least waterproof so it has an opportunity to dry out, because if in fact you can put some fans in there, it can grip the mold. It's all concrete, so that shouldn't be an issue, but I would suggest that we don't get into an agreement to give them something that's faulty.
I think that the water from three, I'm looking at Virgil, has more to do with the abandoned well than the leaky roof.
That's absolutely correct.
It has more to do with the abandoned well versus the roof. So it has to do with what its initial use was for. Now, there still may be a leaky roof.
The roof doesn't leak, but there is, when you get a torrential downpour, it does come in through the backside as well. So it comes through the foundation, and it does drip out of that well quite a bit.
I'm sure staff has a pretty good figure on it.
Yeah. All right. Let's. I think any other direction.
I think that what I'm hearing is to come back to the board with a concept for a formal agreement, and I think, and I'm going to look at Rob. We can probably do that by the same time and place, 30 days from today. On the 18th of March, we can probably get that back to you.
Can you, at the same time, give us an idea of what it's going to take to fix three? I mean, to me, if it's cost prohibitive to fix three, then we then need to work this out where both parties can go into four. Or you discuss it further. It doesn't make a lot of sense to spend tens of thousands of dollars on something.
Yeah, we'll bring a whole report back on besides agreement. We'll go ahead and encompass everything that you reference this evening.
If there actually is enough room in four for two people, I believe.
All right.
So I'll take that as direction, then bring it back on the 18th.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming out tonight to tell us more about that. All right, we'll move back onto our agenda. We'll move on to. There's no presentation tonight. Let's move on to item D, a president's report and director's comments. I'll start.
Nothing for me.
I don't have anything at this time.
Nope. Good. Happy New Year, and we'll move on here. Next one, consent calendar.
Move approval, sync calendar.
I'll second.
Any public comment? I'll call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 It's unanimous. Item F1, consideration of amending board policy number 004 and adoption of resolution 2015-03.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Back at the workshop on January the 31st, the board had a discussion and at their annual planning meeting with respect to the board officer rotation schedule for the board president, vice president, president pro tem, on how that procedure works. Presently, it's just nomination and an appointment process, and the board felt that it would be appropriately to bring back to return with a consideration of a rotation schedule. In order to do that, it would require a modification to board policy 004, which was initially adopted in June of 2002, as well as most recently modified in November of 2011. Policy would become, it's not referenced in the report or in the policy, will make a corresponding change if the board adopts this, that this would become effective on January 1st, 2016. The process is the same for all three positions, with the exception that the board president requires a two-year minimum in this procedure, 2 years of service on the board, whereas the other two positions require a one-year service to the board in order to consider for either the president or vice president or president pro tem position. So to go through it real quickly, a board member, in order to serve as president of the board under the proposed policy, must have served on the board for a minimum of 24 months in order to be considered. And it will be assigned to the board member who has not served as president and who has met the 24-month requirement. If more than one board member has met the 24-month requirement and not served as president, the member with the longest tenure on the board will be the first person appointed to the position of president. In the event each board member has previously served as president at one point in their respective office, the board member to serve as board president shall be the member who has not served as president for the longest period of time. In the event seniority cannot be determined, the board member with the highest vote count in the most recent election, which shall prevail as a senior member for purposes of this selection procedure. The process remains the same for both the vice president as well as the president pro tem positions, like I said, with the exception of the 12-month requirement to be able to serve before serving on that, in those roles. If you have any questions or any comments or feedback or modifications, we'd be certainly happy to discuss them with you. And it's up to you.
I may have to go back and listen to the tape, but I don't recall the 24-month requirement being discussed at the last meeting. Am I wrong?
I remember the discussion.
Yeah. We changed it from 12 months to 24.
It was initially 12, and it got changed.
I'm good with that. I just didn't recall.
Yeah, so
consensus says it happened. I'm sure about it.
Any other comments?
No, I'm in agreement with the change.
I just have a question. So from a logistics standpoint, then the vice president is determined upon. Who's the vice president is determined upon who's serving as president. Is that correct?
No.
Do you back up from that? Is it going to be in succession?
The vice president would be the one who would be next in line to be president.
Right, so it's determined by when you're eligible for president. Also
correct.
Determines when you're eligible for vice president.
Correct.
Okay.
Technically, you would move up the chairs.
Okay.
Everybody's moving up,
okay.
But you can't. Right. You've got to be on for a year before you need to be vice president. And 2 years before you can be president. So it gives a person 24 months before they would be president.
So in reality,
I should be
this
year.
You would move next year.
Yeah.
Bob would be in his second year. He'd be served 12 months, so he'd be vice president, and then he would be 24 months, and that progression will continue to work logistically through the whole thing.
Yeah. And
okay.
Because you're the next one.
Understood. No, I just clarification.
Good point, Director. The question that I would have, I did not reference, and it brings up a good point regarding the direct ascension from the vice president to the president office. There's no reference in there. I can certainly amend it and redraft that and add that.
It just makes sense, right?
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. It makes sense to me, but if you want to add the...
Unless we're worried about future boards having an issue with it, I don't see why we need to go back again.
We don't need to go through it all. You need to add another little one sentence to tie vice president to president, then that's fine.
Well, there's also the issue of if someone declines the position, then it...
Well, that would change it. That's true.
So I would just leave it as it is, with the exception of adding the comment that it becomes effective 1/1/16.
Yeah, I made that change, and that'll be effective in the adopting in the adopting policy. At least from the perspective of this city board, you'll be able to go through it for at least 2 years, and if the board determines that a modification or tweak is necessary, he who creates can change. So you have that ability in the future. So at this point, we'd be looking for a recommendation.
I would move that we move forward with this at this point.
Second. Now we comment.
Any public comment? Any future presidents? All right. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. Thank you. All All right, item F2, consideration of nomination for vacant California Special District Association board member vacancy.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This item deals with me. Back on February the 3rd, the staff, as well as the board, I believe, received an email from CSDA Executive Director McCormick indicating that there was a vacancy on the Bay Area Region, group to sit on their board of directors. I would like to submit my name's nomination for that. I believe that it may be a positive partnership to be able to serve the remaining 9 months of the term. It expires in December 31 of this year. And one of the reasons why I think it would be beneficial has to do with the fact that, as you know, we will be looking at ways to finance some couple big projects we've got coming up the road. And I think that be able to discuss with other districts in this type of a setting with the CSDA Finance Corporation at the table might be a positive opportunity for us. There's four meetings remaining throughout for the remainder of this year. They take place on Fridays between 10 and 2. So the level of commitment would not take me away from the office for an extended period of time. The requirements, I meet all the qualifications that they require you to go through. And so I'm just looking for board support at this time. However, if one of the five of you would like to be considered for that position, I would certainly acquiesce to your preferences on that. So.
I fully support Manager Howard being the putting in this nomination.
Just one question. Do they cover any of your expenses going back and forth? Is that covered by the district?
They would reimburse mileage expenses. I have to attend certain just programs that they offer that are not reimbursed, like their conference or something like that. But for transportation back and forth, there wouldn't be any overnight.
So they go on those conferences.
Yeah.
Okay. Just wondering if they were. I'm just more curious whether or not they do anything for you.
Good idea.
Ready to show up.
They reimburse the mileage, and since I drive a district vehicle, the district would get reimbursed.
That's right.
It would not come to me.
Just office, yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, that'd be a good opportunity, Rick. Thank you. All right, any public comment?
I make a motion for consideration of nomination for vacant California Special District Association board member be Rick Howard.
Second.
Any public comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It's unanimous.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I don't know if they're going to vote me in or not, but I will let you know as soon as I know.
When do they make the decision?
I believe it is going to be their first meeting, I think, is in April, so sometime prior to the April meeting. Our nomination.
For a manager of distinction, for a district of distinction, why wouldn't they?
That's right.
All right, moving on to item F3, Badger Orion Cellular Beacon Meter Reading System.
Are we on?
Yes, sir.
Sorry, you were talking about it. Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Dina's going to give you a little bit of the background, but we discussed this at the January 31st board workshop with respect to our automatic meter reading devices. The company that we use has gone bankrupt, and we are we've been working and evaluating a number of different firms over the last year, and I will let Dina go ahead and give the report on what we found and what our recommendations are.
As we discussed in the last board workshop, that our current company Mosaic Datamatics has filed bankruptcy. They were then purchased out by Zenner, and they created Zenner USA. Zenner is a European company. We met with Zenner, along with a bunch of other companies, and we narrowed it down to two. We looked at Neptune and Badger, and we tested out their meters and readers and their AMR system. We've decided, as a group here, to go with the Badger system. It has a customer portal, it has a great AMR reading system, their meters are very solid, and their readers, we really like the data. So we asked them for a quote for $400. Currently, right now, we have about roughly 340 dead fireflies. We purchase them usually about 100 at a time. We put in 100, and then they die again, and we can't seem to catch up. So what we've decided to do is purchase about 408. There's 24 to a box. We're going to go out, and we're going to replace those fireflies with this Orion reader. And we're going to purchase the software, and we've got some training in here as well. So that's kind of what you're seeing. The price to price is pretty comparable. We were getting a little bit of a discount from Center because we had so many failures. Otherwise, if we didn't have failures, the price would be fairly comparable. So we're asking that we can purchase 408 readers, the Orion readers. This and also includes 8 hours of training and the beacon engagement fee. Any questions?
In addition to that, we would be running a parallel system with our current Datamatic Firefly system with this. And at such a point in time as it would make financial sense to make a complete changeover, we would make it at that point in time. The idea here is that the current Fireflies are, everything's battery operated, and the batteries, they're dying sooner than they're supposed to. And now that we're not getting any support from them, we just felt that this was the best road to go down in terms of making a transition. The difficulty is going to be in managing two separate systems for a while, and that will probably go on for a few years until such time as there's going to come a breaking point. We don't know when that's going to be, when it just makes sense to just make a complete transformation from one system to another.
The current system we have right now is a mesh system, and we're going to be moving to a cellular system. So, and the cellular system is fair. I wouldn't say it's foolproof. Everything, you know, is technology. But it can actually read off of an AT&T tower, a Verizon tower, a Sprint tower, any cellular tower that's in the area. So,
how many homes do we have rated right now?
We have 2,100 homes rated. Okay.
Roughly, how many of these fireflies are failing a month or every 2 months?
Well, right now we have 340, so it's more than 15%.
So, doing 400, what's the cost of doing the 400?
To do 400, it's $32,000 to order 400.
And of course, we're paying that now.
That's correct.
So, is it failing at a rate of 15% a month?
Probably not 15% a month. It's 15%, and then we buy 100. We replace 100, and then it just kind of, so if we have 340 fails, we replace 100, you would think it would be about 240, and then we continue on replacing more, and that's not the case. Now we have about 320 fails. The batteries can't catch up, they can't read, they can't connect in, we're just having a complete problem with the system.
We're constantly behind the 8 ball.
But yes. Now, they read our meters, if we don't read the meters, they read the company.
Well,
okay, so what happens is those ones that are dead are manual reads. I actually have to send out Aaron, our technician, to go out there, get the room numbers, give them back to Willow, and we actually manually enter the read into the system.
They read the ones that aren't dead.
And the system reads the ones that are not dead. We get an import file, and we import that right into our cell system.
Badger does the same thing, though.
Badger does the same thing. We've actually talked to their IT guy. What they're going to do for us is as we start replacing the new ones, they were going to give us a file for just the ones that we replaced and to import only those that we've replaced in, so we don't have duplicate data.
We're recommending also that the funds for this purchase anyway come from the Water Infrastructure Replacement Fund. The total purchase is about $40,000, and you tack on everything else to it, including tax and everything, as well as the training. And there's about $700,000 in that infrastructure fund, and we have not tapped into it since we started that fund up a number of years ago. So this is a good opportunity and a good use of those funds.
But we're going to spend it probably twice a year.
Well, this would just be for the initial startup. Once we go to replacing the ones that die, we would just take them out of our regular budget at that point. This is just to get us going because it's a big ticket item.
And what led staff to kind of select the Badger system over the other systems that you reviewed?
Okay, so I can go through that. So it took us about a year. We initially last year had a bunch of companies come in, and we started with Aclara. We called a couple of agencies around, and what I did was I called Sacramento. Sacramento was using Datamatics, and they had the same problem we were. So I started there. So I gave them a call. I said, I know that you're going to be transitioning. Who are you looking into? And they kind of gave us a bunch of names and then who they narrowed it down to. So I picked who they narrowed it down to. And then I also have Willow, who's involved in kind of a group of other utility districts. We've kind of set them up where the utility billing person, they meet together with, they meet with Oakley, Brentwood, Antioch, Pittsburgh. I think we're getting in Bethel Island, and then there's a Rio Vista is now joining. And so I had her go and start questioning them. Who do they use? There's a couple of cities that use multiple types of meters. And so I asked her, you know, who do they like the best? What systems do they like? I also asked Aaron to go out and start tapping into some forums and talking to some water utility guys. What kind of meters do they like? What are their failure rates? How are they break down? What do they like and not like about them? So that's kind of where we started. From there, we gathered the companies that we narrowed it down to, which was Aclara, Badger, Neptune, Zenner we threw in the mix because they purchased, you know, Datamatics. We thought we'd give them a shot. We didn't have to change systems. That would be great. We started there. They came out. They gave us a software presentation. They showed us their meters, all their equipment. And then what I did was I asked them, I go, would you give us 10 to test out? And so kind of startled them for a minute, but they did. Two companies agreed to give us 10 meters each and a demo sandbox system. And so we received those, we placed them on different locations around town, and we started to test them out ourselves, see how they read, see what kind of fail rates, if there were any. And so that's kind of how we came to that problem. You know, overall, I think Neptune was a great product. Their website had a lot of information that was a little bit almost overwhelming. They did have a customer portal, which would have been overwhelming, so I'm just imagining the phone calls and the call rates. Their meters were quite a bit cheaper, but they were not automatic meters. They were more of a dial read meter. And so, you know, we had a couple of issues with that. So then we kind of narrowed it down to Badger. We liked their product. I liked their Orion product. I liked the way that they imported the data in. I love their customer portal. It'll give customers, when we finally roll that out, customers can log on. They can see their usage. They can compare it to the previous month or last year. What they do is their cellular base was great. They offer a mesh system as well, but I think we were going to go with the cellular. And what happens is if their system or their network goes down, they store their data for more than 60 days. And so that was a big thing for us. So if something happens, a disaster, we'll have that data and we can go back in and say, okay, this is where we were at. They're storing their data and they're continuing to be. And so that was kind of a really good selling point for us. They didn't do hourly data, but they could do daily reads. Right now we can't do that. And so that we liked as well. Neptune couldn't do it either. So I think they did every couple days they could pull in a read, or every midnight they would pull in a read, where Badger could do not necessarily hourly reads, but they did more reads in a day. So we liked that.
We're not changing the meters. We're changing the readers. And at some point in time in the future, we use census meters right now, correct? The iPearls?
Yeah.
At some point in time, we may transition to the Badger meters, or we may stay with the census meters moving forward, but they're compatible. The Badger devices connect directly to the, depending on the, with the, it's a connector that they all use.
Yeah, so that was the selling point too, is that we could keep our existing infrastructure in the ground, plug on this reader, and go.
What? I don't know the difference between the cellular and the mesh.
The mesh. So the mesh is sort of a complicated process. Let me see if I can break this down.
Real quick. Short one.
Sure, go ahead.
The mesh is radio based, and what it does is it'll have a. Just think of a net over a swath of properties, and those meters that are under that net go to one reader, and then those get passed along, and they connect to the rest of the readers along, and they get handed off to the next one, to the next one. And when the batteries die on the systems, what ends up happening is a battery will die, so they'll all get stuck at this one meter, and they won't get passed on. And so as those batteries die, then as they keep trying to push data through, they're pushing through, instead of doing it once a day, they're pushing through constantly trying to get the data through. Cellular is just like it's a digital setup, and it goes right up to an antenna, and it goes out to their network. So there's not the mesh issue, the mesh system. Part of the problem with our mesh system is that we're flat. There's no hills, and that's part of the problem that we have here, is you can't get it high enough without putting up huge antennas to be able to get the reads out properly. And with the problems they've had with the batteries over the last couple of years, it just came time to be. And with the bankruptcy.
And Mark, these are warranted. These are warranted. So if one fails, we tell them about it, they come out, or they just send us another one.
I was going to ask that.
If you were.
I want to thank staff for an excellent presentation, and also the fact that we've been working on this for a year. It gives me comfort as a director, and not being in the daily evolution of how things are moving behind the scenes, that I think you've done a great job. You've satisfied the questions I have. Thank you very much.
The only concern I have, and I don't even think it's a concern, the other company that we just used went bankrupt.
Yes.
How long has Orion been in business?
They've been in business for 11 years.
They're a solid, my only question is, they're a solid company, not somebody who's starting out in this business.
That's correct. They have been around for a very long time. We don't want a small company up and coming to be a tester anymore. This is a company that's solid. Actually, North Star just implemented the Badger system. They've been ecstatic with it. So, and some other districts and companies, and so they've been very happy. So we called around and asked questions.
The board at the workshop asked about, one of you, if I recollect, asked about what Mountain House is doing. They're in the same boat we are. They're not using the same provider. They don't use Badger, but they are looking to change out. And I talked to them earlier this week. Their GM actually lives on my street, and we ran into each other. And we were talking about it, and they're getting ready to go through the same process we are. So they're looking at it. They're probably going to come to us here pretty soon asking how we're doing things.
Thank you for the presentation.
I do want to let you know that Dina, Willow, Virgil, and Aaron spent a lot of time on this over the last year.
Thank all
of you. And it was a time-consuming, because of the study we did, we actually deployed them in the field and ran the tests to make sure which ones we were.
Yeah, and I'm very pleased with that. To come back and say, we've worked on this for a year, figuring it all out, gives me a lot of confidence in our ability to make a decision. So thank you.
One other comment on that is one of the things that this Badger does offer is for the customer. I think most of you have homes where your toilet is seeping, and inside the back of it, the little plastic thing leaks water. The Badger, after a few continuous water running through your meter, through this unit, will send you an email, or however way you want to do that, and let you know, we think you have a leak. So you're kind of being proactive. It's what we were really looking from the Datamatics at the time, but that feature just didn't come out until they filed that.
Any public?
Great analytics. Yeah, it will alert Aaron
of
certain things, and
the homeowner
of certain things.
That sounds like a good system.
Any other comments? Any public comment? Any motion?
I move staff recommendation.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Unanimous, thank you. Item G, informational items. Moving on, Veolia report.
No, I got an information.
You have some information?
Yes, sir. I do. But it's a report to give to you. We're presenting information, and the dean's going to present.
Thank you, Lance.
Remember, they don't like your financial report. They're all walking out.
This will be brief, but we're bringing to you our quarterly financial report and our mid-year budget.
You told me to keep it brief, because I remember the first time I did this, I spent 30 minutes. So here it is. Any questions? No. So there is one thing I'm proud of. You're going to be very excited, because it was the first item I looked at was infosystem maintenance, which was IT. This is the first time since I've been here we are not over at mid-year. So we are right on 50%.
Mark likes
close
that.
To it.
Are you sure?
Yeah. But you know what?
Hey, no promises for the end of the year, though.
It's not the end of the year yet, though. There wasn't anything that particularly jumped out at me that we are overspending. Let's see. As you can see, I kind of provided you with what the water expenditures look like. Wastewater, I finally have it split. There are some tweaking since 13-14 was kind of the first year we really moved into, or 14-15 was in the first year we really moved into Cassell as just using one system and not having dual systems. You know, we built this budget with the best knowledge we could out of using two systems, QuickBooks, and you know the data that we did have in them. So this year's budget should be a little bit more tight, and so I'm kind of proud of that. And I don't know if we have any other questions. We're doing pretty good right now. We have our reserves of about $5 million. We have our fund balance with the county of $5.1 million. That's actually less the reserves. So Zone 8 looks like it's doing okay. Right now their spending is pretty good, but the community center revenues are still not really, they're not coming in as fast as we would like them to. Otherwise, Zone 9 is always looks good. So.
Sounds good. I guess the only question I guess I'd have, because I'm not on the budget committee any longer, so I have to ask the question. And at some point, I think we're going to have a discussion about how to put together a funding stream to be able to maintain the community center and work all those issues out. So that would that be 6-8 months from now or a year from now? Or, okay. It'll be when it's going to be.
It should be.
Yeah.
Have the ability to talk about it at some point.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to meet with Bob this afternoon. Sorry you couldn't be there, but it was a good opportunity because I got to go back in the history of how we've evolved and how we've grown and fine-tuned our finances here. So, you know, we kind of went through all the data, answered all those questions, showed the county GL, showed him our binders, our monthly binders, how we did our clothes.
Well, I guess I'll have to ask my fellow director, but being he's just here, saw it for the first time, what do you think?
The numbers look good. I mean, we do have an issue. We have to talk about Zone 8, and, you know, we'll be working through that as we move along. The other item is the presentation here. I've asked, you know, staff to look at segregating out water from wastewater. I understand they've done a lot of work. It's getting pretty darn close. But they are really two separate and distinct companies within the town of Discovery Bay. And we need to keep those revenues and expenses separate. You can't commingle those funds. Once you collect funds for one purpose, you can't use for another purpose. That's coming as the system develops.
If I may clarify that just a little bit, we do that in Cassell, and we do that here. The county, however, we have all the funds commingled, and it's a town GL. And so when I was talking with Bob this afternoon, we kind of mentioned maybe working with the county and having them split that GL and have water and wastewater. So that's something we'll definitely look into for the future. So, you know, anything we can do to make this more streamlined, make it more accurate, make it more clear, we'd be willing to do. So.
Good. Any questions? Any comments? Any public comment? Thank you very much.
Thank you for a great update.
Thank you for the update. Rick, any other information?
Got it.
All right. And manager's report. I thought we just sent one.
Dino looks so much like.
No, I don't think those two go.
You're contaminating the rest of us.
I got a sinus infection. I apologize.
Doesn't sound like a sinus infection.
It is.
I look, I'm sick of it.
Okay. The month of January, things went very well. We continue our safety practices. Training, we did an annual safety fire teams training. We did our with the new inflow pump station coming online, we did some training on the old SCADA system as we move forward with the new SCADA system. All reports were submitted on time. Mark PC, so we'll be open up here. The big issue here in January, we had 47.6 million gallons of water we sent out in the system, which is down 31% from time last year, the same time. So we reduced our water usage quite a bit in January, and we're leveling out about the 47 million during the winter months. It'll start climbing around April, but we can continue to do the reduction, and it's going very well. Well within our NPDES permit limits, no issues there. We're actually starting off the year with our conductivity, which has always been an issue, below our yearly average, so still on a good foot there. So no issues, no back T issues. All wastewater lift stations are running properly. We did resume our collection in CTPD this month. Next month, I'll give you a small presentation on some of the things we found, but we'll be finished with all of the town Discovery Bay. We'll all be TV'd and flushed. And moving forward, we will just be doing hot spots, or which we found were problem areas. We'll go back and hit those on a quarterly basis. But we'll have everything TV, and then we'll get that downloaded to our system. So if there's ever an issue, we can go and do that system. And we continue maintenance, continue to knock them out. We're getting our aging down. The staff have been really good, doing a good job on catching up on maintenance. That's about it. Things are going very well.
We're full strength?
Full strength. Have been since last April.
Good job. Yeah, every month.
I didn't ask if we wrecked any cars this month, though.
No, we didn't.
Awesome. Any questions?
The only cars we don't care about is the town cars.
That's right. All right, Bernie. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bernie.
Yeah, it's Bernie. Take care of yourself, man.
Andrew's report, please.
Oh.
The only thing I have tonight is I want to make sure the board knows that Sue's here, and thank you for coming in and pinch-hitting for Carol. I understand that her procedure went well.
Yes, she's resting.
She should be released in the near future from the hospital. And that Friday we are having the going away lunch for Farron. So I make sure that all of you are able to attend. We've got a picture we're doing. If you can't make it, we're going to Photoshop you in. So if you can make it, please do so. And if you can stop by and say hello to her before she leaves, I should appreciate that. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Can you just give us an update on the community center board? Transition, boardroom transition?
This afternoon, the Community Center Landscape Parks and Rec Subcommittee, I don't recall what the new official name is, met. President Steele and Director Bees, met with Barron and staff and myself, and we went over the boardroom transition over to the Community Center, and we're hopeful that we will have the first meeting there, either the second meeting in March or the first meeting in April.
For what?
March or April.
2015.
Coming
really?
Up. Yep. In the next 30 to 45 days. Okay. There's going to have to be some tweaking. We have to do all the electric, all the power's in place. The facilities are being constructed off-site and should be delivered hopefully.
Legal?
Nothing to report.
All right. Any committee updates?
We heard the finance report today. That's what we went over. It's very done very well.
Yeah, and then the, we'll call it the Landscape and Parks Committee met today. And again, Senator Howard gave us the update on the upcoming room repositioning. It appears we have a good temporary employee, and until we find Barron's replacement, staff person that was there seemed pretty knowledgeable about maintenance and sending the crews out and all those things. And we've got a little report on they set up a chart, gave us a listing of which areas they would work on in which days and how many hours, etc. So it appears they've got that under control, so there shouldn't be any miscues along the line.
Who's that?
Her name is Shanae Anderson. Shanae came to us through the recruitment process when we hired the two new landscape guys. And what ended up happening is she was way overqualified for that, and Farron recognized that she had some skills and she knew she was probably going to be leaving. And so we went ahead and brought her on about the time that she gave her notice. And so we are utilizing her abilities, at least on an interim basis. And I haven't worked with her, but Farron has, and she's very, very pleased with her performance and her knowledge base and that sort of thing.
And I did speak with Farron personally and congratulate her on her time here and thanked her for what she's done for the city. I won't be able to, I told her I wouldn't be able to be there on Friday, and wished her a very good success in her next level in employment.
Rick, do we have any resumes at all?
I haven't started a recruitment yet.
Well, I can't wait to get a communication committee update next month. We talked about you guys today. Yeah, not in vain, though. Really cool.
All right.
Yeah, you got a great website you guys are building, and we got a bunch of good stuff for just,
oh, yeah, we got it. We got it all going on.
All right. Anyway, yeah, it was good. And the community center's got a full schedule of activities going on, so come on out and support the community center.
One more thing. Yeah. Sorry. The pool is going to be plastered tomorrow and start refilling it.
Plastered and tweakers. What's wrong with this?
And there's over 100 people that are in the swim team that have signed up.
The Otters are at full capacity.
Full windage. All right, good deal. We got some correspondence here. Any public records requests?
This is from the city.
This is from
any future agenda items?
Meetings.
Yeah, looks good. At this time, I'd like to adjourn our meeting at 7:56.